It's time for the North Posey Viking Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW and NorthPoseyRadio.com. Tonight's show is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, Crane Credit Union, Nick's Industrial, Expressway Chevrolet, GAF, Billy Sparkle and Shine, JT's Hardware, Posey Storage, Expressway Jeep, J.L. Hirsch & Company, Rugged Armor Linings, and Smith Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance.
Welcome into another edition of the North Posey Football Coaches Show, live from North Posey High School. As always, I'm Jordan Fisher with head coach Waylon Shank. And coach, your team is now 4-1 after getting a 49-6 victory at Pike Central on Friday night. It was a game where you guys came out, you started fast and never really looked back. The moral of the story of the game was the passing attack. Carter Schickle, 300 yards passing and 7 touchdowns, which was a school record. You guys had also posted that Dylan Murphy had tied the school record for most receiving touchdowns in a single game with 4 passing touchdowns. Was that something that you guys planned going in? Was that you guys were going to use the aerial attack against the Chargers defense?
No, not necessarily. We script a lot of our opening drives, and I think I scripted our first 12, 15 plays going into the game, and don't typically script a third down situation. We script a third down situations, not plays. But and we kind of went right through our script, our opening drive, and then even into the second drive, right through the script. And you know, I didn't anticipate Dylan taking an opening screen pass for 80 yards, and but that was a great way to get started. But no, I mean we wanted to get Carter going again. We feel like we can get him completing some passes early. He gets really comfortable. And that tends to open up our run game, and that's kind of been our approach. But if you'd have told me going into the game we'd have 7 touchdown passes, I probably wouldn't have believed you, because that was not the intention going in. We want to continue to stay balanced, and I felt like we did that for the most part, and Carter just happened to hit for 7 touchdown passes.
Well, and when you look at the stats, I had Carter at 18 of 24. You've talked about how he's gotten off to some fast starts this season, starting 6 for 6 or 9 of 10 or whatever. But he was 10 of his final 12 in the midst of closing out that game, and really many of those going for touchdowns. I also thought that he did a good job of spreading the ball around. Brody Fain only had 1 official reception, but he did have 2 catches, one that was called back due to a holding. Camden Clowers, his only reception that he or a target that he had, he ended up taking it to the house for a touchdown. Really, I thought the entire receiving group, Davin Sullivan, they were all getting open and giving him options to throw the ball to.
Yeah, and he's gotten comfortable with all those guys, and that's been, we talked about it early in the season. I felt like we'd be a different team by midpoint than we are now, and we knew what we had in Remy, we knew what we had in Dylan and Carter, but how was Brody going to progress throughout the summer? Bringing Davin in and bringing Clowers in and then Brett catching the ball out of the backfield. Those guys have really started to mesh, and they're doing on Friday night what we see Monday through Thursday. I mean, he's spreading the ball out. He's making the right reads. He's not forcing it to guys. He's a mature quarterback that's figured it out. And, Dylan gets a lot of the credit because he's making some big plays. But, when Dylan was out, Remy had 10 catches, and I think Remy still had 5 this week. And I think they all understand that it benefits the program when multiple guys touch it, because you can't just take Dylan away. If you do that, we got a lot of other guys that can hurt you.
Yeah, you guys showed one new wrinkle in the game on Friday whenever you lined up Brett Beaker behind Carter Schickle, and you had a bunch set to the right, and then you move Beaker in motion to have basically a swing pass with a screen, and you guys had another play off of that. Is that something you're planning to build off of throughout the rest of the season?
Yeah, and that's kind of our approach, is we don't add a ton each week. We just the way we approach it looks different. So our route concepts haven't completely changed. We come in, and even my own coaching staff's like, man, we're adding a lot of stuff. And for our quarterback, we're not adding anything. For our receivers, we're not adding anything. For our O-line, we're not adding it. I think for our opponent, we're adding things. So, we ran this play out of this set this week. Next week, it'll look different. So people may say, well, that's a different play. But for our kids who already know the concept and our blocking scheme that doesn't really change, it's not a new play for us, but it is something new that the defense has to prepare for. And when you start stacking 3 and 4 games in a row where teams are looking at film, I mean, if you look at us and you try to scout us, it probably looks like we run 500 different plays. But essentially, we're not. We're running the same concepts. We kind of window dress them a little bit to put the put the defense, try to give our quarterback a numbers game and an easy read, and he's done a really good job with figuring that out and getting the ball where it needs to go.
Well, I know one thing that's really changed over the last several years, especially going down from the high to, from the professional level all the way down to the high school level now, is a lot of pre-snap motion. You guys do a lot of pre-snap stuff going on as far as jet motions, orbit motions, whatever. And it is a good point because I was getting ready to bring that up as well. As long as you run your same concepts now, whatever your favorites are as a coach, you know, kind of keep that to yourself or whatever. But like whether it's mesh or dagger or stick or whatever, you guys are still doing the same concepts, but it is different kind of eye candy, I guess, for the opponent.
Yeah, and I think the movement gives Carter kind of a key on what coverage they're in. You know, if he sees motion and they're running with him, he knows he's got man coverage and he knows what he's going to go to. And, you know, if we motion and they just roll a guy, he figures out real quick, oh, they're just checking the three. And a year ago, he couldn't do that. A year ago, I think the motions that we were doing were almost confusing him as much as the defense. But now, man, I feel like he's, you know, we talk about playing chess. I think he's a move ahead of everybody. And, I mean, that's a good feeling as a play caller to know that your quarterback, you know, is in tune with what you're trying to do and he knows it. And I mean, we put some different formations and things in today. And, I mean, you almost don't even have to explain it to him. He knows, yeah, it's just the same thing. And we're going to, here's my number one read this week. So, it's great to have an experienced guy back there, and he's making us look really good right now.
Now, I know on your board out there, you guys have different challenges you want to hit every single week. You guys had another 100-yard rushing game from Brett Beaker. I had him at 107 yards unofficial. I don't remember what the official total was, but his fourth 100-yard game of the year. What kind of testament does that speak towards specifically the offensive line and the job they're doing up front to allow him to have that running room?
I just think we continue to get better each week, and he continues to get better, and he continues to get more confident. And you know, early on it was like, you know, you almost had to force him to take the handoffs and force him to run the ball, and now he wants the ball. And that, like I said, that comes with seat time, that comes with him just gaining that confidence, and he's gained confidence in the guys up front too. You know, those guys are doing a good job of opening some holes, and he ran the ball very physically. Like, I would say that, you know, that's where he's made the most progress, is he's delivering blows now instead of taking them. He's finishing runs. He's getting those extra yards. And, you know, with what we're trying to do, we know teams are going to try to load up to our pass game. And, you know, Brett, if he can keep, you know, he's averaging 7-8 yards a pop, it's really hard to empty the box knowing that we'll just run the ball. And we've got a kid who's really capable of doing that. And he said, I told him when he took over the role when Cade went down, I mean, you're a 1,000-yard rusher, you're an all-conference kid, you just don't know it yet. And he's proven us to be right.
So I got a chance to talk to Cade actually at halftime of the game against Pike Central. He came on. We talked a little bit about his kind of rehab as he had the successful surgery this past week. But one thing I asked him about was how he's had to adjust to being a leader now, where he can't really help on the field, but he is a captain. He's kind of been mentoring Brett Beaker. What have you seen from Cade as far as being a leader and a captain while he can't suit up for the team?
He is our captain, and I mean, he proved that in the offseason, and he has not, you know, with his injury, the thing that stands out to me the most is he's not sitting over feeling sorry for himself. And I've seen that with kids in the past. You know, it's poor, poor Piddle for me. I went down with an injury, and that's not ever been Cade's approach. It's been, you know, I got dealt a tough hand. How am I going to make the most of this, and how can I continue to help the program, and how can I mentor Brett, and how can I, you know, be in the locker room and be the guy, and not make it about him. And I mean, that's what's awesome about Cade Malk. And that's what was awesome about Ty. I mean, it's never been about those guys. It's always been about the team and the program first. And he's continued to do that. And, says a lot about his character and, you know, how, you know, Corey and Lisa have raised those boys. And, you know, can't say enough about, you know, just the quality of character those kids have.
I want to switch over to the defensive side of things. Your guys' pass defense has really been sensational throughout the season. The run defense has been a little bit tougher as far as trying to make those adjustments. Chris pointed it out on the air before we started the game on Friday night that you had allowed 3 100-yard rushers of the first 4 games. Now, Boyd had only about 60 yards, and he had 1 touchdown, but we were talking about it off the air before we came on that it was kind of more of a broken play and a bit of just a missed assignment. But you have been seeing some improvement there in your run defense. How do you feel about that as far as at this point in the season and kind of where you can get better in that situation?
Yeah, and part of the 100-yard rushers that you give up is the schemes that we're playing. You know, we're playing against teams that want to run the ball, and they're going to run the ball, and they're going to run it 50 times. And so we look at the total package, but we have improved, I think, tremendously. And that, again, has come just with experience and getting kids reps. And, you know, you go back and you look at who started this season, you know, up front on the defensive line. You know, Zeke Roosevelt had never played football. Brandon Courts has played football for 3 years. He didn't play football until his sophomore year of high school when he got here. You know, Seth Gentile was coming off of a knee injury where, you know, you could tell he was not trusting that 100%, and he's back into to what we saw him when he was healthy last year. We got two inside linebackers the first time starting at the beginning of the season, an outside linebacker in Lane Young, who is proven to be a pretty good football player.
He was pretty good on Friday, too.
Yes, and he's getting better and better and better each week, and he's getting more confident. And, you know, Camden Clowers is kind of playing our nickel position, who's kind of an overhang, and he's a freshman who's playing varsity football. So our front seven or eight were really inexperienced, unproven, and I think they just keep getting better. You know, Justin Coleman's another kid who's playing a lot of significant reps in there as a sophomore who didn't start playing football till eighth grade. And so a lot of these guys, they just need the reps. And we continue to harp on that about, we knew going in week six, week seven this year, we were going to be a different defense. We were going to be a more experienced line on the offensive side. And we're starting to find other guys. Evan Buchanan's a kid who has never played football until this year. He's a senior that had always played tennis, and just a big body, strong kid. He played some significant snaps on Friday and is starting to really look the part, and he's stepping up every week in practice. So as long as these guys continue to improve, I feel good about where our defense is going. And the cool part about it is most of these guys are back next year. You know, a lot of these guys are underclassmen. I think we started two seniors on both sides of the ball Friday night. And, you know, you can have a successful season this year and then bring a lot of these guys back. Man, the future is really bright for us.
Well, of course, last year you lost a bunch of talent. You lost a Gavin Myers, a Cade Beaker, a Ty Mock that you mentioned earlier. So there is certainly some growing pains, I think, with the inexperience you're talking about. But is there like a metric you look at as far as, of course, not with maybe the total number of 100 yards, but are you looking at how many chunk plays are we allowing, or how many tackles for losses are we getting, or what are kind of areas you're focusing on to try to continue to help improve that with their mentality as well?
Yeah, I look at, you know, from a D-line standpoint, are we getting pushed around? Are we more physical than the other team? And I think early on that the answer was yes, we were getting pushed around. We were playing too high. You could tell, you know, defensive line is a very unselfish position. You know, you're not there to make tackles. And, you know, everybody thinks, well, what do you mean they're not? They're there to make sure our linebackers don't get blocked
and fill gaps.
And if the offense just happens to run to where they are, they might make a tackle. But man, you know, Gavin Myers was an All-State D tackle mm-hmm. for the last 2 years, and I think he had 35 tackles last year. But the guys behind him were really good, and they were really good because they never got blocked because Gavin was eating up double teams. And trying to get guys who have never played football, you know, they kind of look at you like you got two heads when you say, man, your job's not to make the tackle. Your job is to get movement, get penetration, and keep these guys behind you clean. And we're starting to buy into that. And I think, you know, Coach Fisher's putting us in some better positions. You know, we went to four down linemen. It just seems to fit the personnel we have right now better than the three we were starting with. And but, yeah, I mean, we look at the total pick. Are we more aggressive right now than we were week one? Absolutely. Are we more physical? Absolutely. And then we're blowing a lot fewer assignments. You know, we talked off the air before this. The one touchdown we gave up to Boyd, we had a linebacker out of position, blew an assignment. And it gave up a touchdown, and that's just the reality of football. I mean, it's an mm-hmm. assignment, you know, game, and if you get one guy out of spot and it creates a lane, and for a guy as good as Boyd was, he found it, and that's the one big mistake we made, and it cost us a touchdown. But outside of that, we were really patient, and we played team defense all night.
Well, your team is now 4-1 and 2-0 in the PAC Small School Division. Of course, you guys have another big game coming up on Friday night, as it'll be homecoming against the South Spencer Rebels. Let's go ahead and step away for a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Rebels and also talk about some of the activities that'll be going on with homecoming. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the North Posey Football Coaches Show, live from North Posey on 98.9 WPIW.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Asgrow and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
At Crane Credit Union, we listen to our members and do our best to provide the products and services they want and need. With our personal one-on-one banking and our convenient state-of-the-art technology, your money is always at your fingertips, leaving more time for the things you really care about. Crane Credit Union. It matters to us because it matters to you. Learn more at cranecu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
Expressway Chevrolet GMC is family-owned and located on the corner of Highway 62 and 69 in Mount Vernon, Indiana. The dealership was built on the principle that every vehicle buying experience should be easy but fun for the whole family. Our award-winning service department has 26 bays, 11 technicians, with 5 of them world-class. Sales is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Inventory is arriving daily, so remember to shop us before you shop anywhere else and visit us 24/7 at expressway chevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana.
When you need to clear up some space at home, store things that matter the most, or need an area to keep your business's materials and inventory, turn to Posey Storage in Poseyville. They've got storage units to fit about any need, with 4 sizes to choose from, including 5x12, 10x12, 10x24, and extra large 12x35-foot units. Need room for a boat, RV, or camper? They have you covered with both indoor and outdoor options. And renting couldn't be any easier. Call them at 812-622-1626, rent online at PoseyStoragePV.com, or stop by and use a convenient rental kiosk on site. Plus, with security cameras around the property, your stuff stays protected. Posey Storage, your local storage solution at 128 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville.
Nick's Industrial in Poseyville, Indiana is hiring for metal fabrication engineers, industrial coders and painters, welders and fabricators, and machinists. Join a fifth-generation, family-owned, growth-oriented company. Nick's Industrial offers an extensive list of benefits, including health and 401k plans, paid holiday and vacations, bonus plans, and more. Be part of a team that thrives on precision, innovation, and excellence. Browse careers and start your journey with Nick's Industrial at nicksindustrial.com.
When you're ready to tackle your next home improvement project, look no further than JT's Hardware, your one-stop shop on Main Street in Poseyville. JT's Hardware has everything you need to get the job done right. From tools to paint, plumbing to electrical, and fasteners to lumber, they've got you covered. And the staff is always ready to lend a helping hand and offer helpful advice. So don't wait. Head to JT's Hardware today and make your home improvement dreams a reality. JT's Hardware, your local partner in home improvement, located on Main Street in Poseyville.
You count on your car every day, so keep it looking sharp at Billy's Sparkle and Shine in Poseyville. A clean car doesn't just turn heads, it feels better to drive. Billy's has a touchless automatic bay for a quick and easy wash, 2 self-serve bays if you're hands-on, and 4 powerful vacuums to freshen up your interior. If you're tackling summer bugs, the front bug sweep pass on the Ultimate Package can clean up that mess too. And for businesses, fleet accounts make regular cleanups a breeze. So stop by Billy's Sparkle and Shine today at 140 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville and give your car the care it deserves.
Now at Expressway Jeep, 0% for 72 months on new 2025 Ram 1500 trucks. Or take advantage of huge new incentives. New 2025 Ram 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 Uproar, lifted, locked, and ready to rock. Only $47,945, saving $12,000. Now at Expressway Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Excludes tax, title, and 250.3. Price includes all rebates and 1500 Expressway owner loyalty with trade-in from any Expressway dealership. 0 for 72 months on well-equipped qualified buyers through Stellantis Financial and other rebates. With approved credit, see dealer for details. Offer ends 9/30/25.
Since 1916, J.L. Hirsch Company Grocery and Department Store has been servicing the people of Posey County. Whether you're looking for clothing, jewelry, or stocking up on groceries, it's all at J.L. Hirsch Company. And don't forget about the renowned meat department with the best cuts of meat for miles around. Get your North Posey spirit wear at J.L. Hirsch as well. J.L. Hirsch Grocery and Department Store, a Posey County tradition for over 100 years. Open 8 until 5:30 Monday through Saturday. J.L. Hirsch Company on Main Street in Poseyville. When it's time for maintenance on your vehicle, make the right choice and visit Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center. No matter the make or model, they have the right parts at the right price. Let the knowledgeable staff help you find exactly what you need for the job. If you don't want to deal with the mess yourself, then let the Poseyville Service Center take care of you where there's no job too big. Stop in at 39 West Main Street in Poseyville or call 812-874-3113. Open Monday through Friday from 8 until 5 and Saturdays from 8 until noon.
Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center, your one-stop shop for everything automotive.
If you're looking to breathe new life into your worn-out asphalt, you need Smith's Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance, a family-owned and operated business you can trust. Their team specializes in sealing and maintaining asphalt, making old driveways and parking lots look brand new. With fair prices and a commitment to quality, they're the ones you can rely on. Visit them on Facebook and give them a call for a free quote today. Call 812-228-9651 for Smith's Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance. Trust in family. Trust in quality. Trust Smith's.
GAF of Mount Vernon, North America's premier roofing and waterproofing manufacturer, proudly supports Posey County football with the mission to protect what matters most. GAF builds unmatched strength, safety, and innovation, qualities that inspire champions on and off the field. GAF is honored to stand alongside our community and cheer on the Wildcats and Vikings players as they leave it all on the field this season. Here's to a safe, successful, and unforgettable season with pride and support from your friends at GAF.
You work hard to play hard, so protect your investment with a truck liner, textured coatings, or powder coatings from Rugged Armor Linings in Poseyville. Offering professional applications to protect your vehicles, RVs, off-road vehicles, and boat interiors against heat, scratches, dents, rock chips, and fading. 16 colors available. For an estimate, contact Paul Edwards by appointment only at 812-457-2415. Again, that's 812-457-2415. Rugged Armor Linings, 129 West Fletchell in Poseyville. Your dealer for B&W Hitch and Rough Country Accessories.
Welcome back to the North Posey Football Coaches Show, live from North Posey High School with head coach Waylon Shank. I'm Jordan Fisher, and now we turn our attention to the South Spencer Rebels, who will be coming to town to visit Joe Jingleball Field for a Week 6 matchup. It'll be a PAC small school matchup, but when you look at the conference standings, you are sitting there at 3-0 is what this says. Is that correct?
It's 3-0.
3-0? Yeah, it is 3-0. In the small school division, and everyone else is basically 1-1 in the tied for second spot, so this would be a win that would be at least a big-time spacer for you and the team, and maybe winning the small school division, but also it's a homecoming game, so those are always important. But just in general, a big game coming up on Friday night.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this essentially would clinch at least a share of the small school division, and that was one of our goals coming in. We knew we were going to be young, but we thought, you know, we still felt like we had a good shot at winning this thing. And the win a couple weeks ago against Tell City put us in the driver's seat, and we took care of business against Pike, but we have back-to-back conference games coming up with South Spencer and Forest Park, and this Forest Park or the South Spencer team's 1-4. But if you look at their schedule, you know, they've lost to Heritage Hills, which so has everybody else. The Edgewood team they lost to week 2 is 5-0. You know, Mount Vernon's playing really good football. It was 4-1 that beat them. They had some key guys out against Tecumseh, and I think that everybody looks at that Tecumseh game and says, man, they dropped one at Tecumseh. Well, Tecumseh's a much improved football team, and then when you pair that with some of their main guys that were out against Tecumseh, it was just kind of the perfect storm. And then they turn around and I think surprised a lot of people by knocking off Forest Park with the score that they beat them with. I think a lot of people thought Forest Park was, you know, with some of the athletes they had back, would be a contender for the conference, and man, they blew them out. So this is a 1-4 team, but they're pretty solid. They're young. They play with a lot of energy. They have a lot of size, a good back, an athletic quarterback. So, you know, it's going to be a tough challenge for us.
And they have a new coach there too, Brandon Neighbors, in his first year at the school. You've been a first-time head coach at a couple different schools now. What's that like whenever you're taking over a new program and you're trying to kind of put your mark on the program and kind of get the program going the direction you want it to be?
Yeah, I mean, you got to come in, and the best advice I think I ever got when I got here was from Coach Jingleball. And I mean, he just told me to be you. You know, don't come in here and try to be somebody you're not. Come in here and do what got you the opportunity to coach here, and you'll be successful. And I think sometimes people try to be what people think they want them to be rather than who they are. And I've had to remind myself of that at times. You know, do what got you here. Stay true to who you are. That would be the advice I'd give to him. I mean, he's a guy that coming in, taking over a program, I think it was 500 last year, and he's trying to rebuild that tradition of really good football that they had at South Spencer. I know he played there, and he'd been on staff at different times throughout his career. And, he's trying to put his mark on the program and build the culture back to where he thinks it should be. And he's got a good young group of kids that he can do that around.
Well, now that he takes over with that program, of course, there's also a lot of players that graduated from that program from last year. Namely, the quarterback Ty Brown was one of the biggest threats for you guys whenever you're coming to defending the South Spencer Rebels offense. But we were talking about there's a couple kids that are really underclassmen that you're kind of got your eye on.
Yeah, the Lance kid's really good. I think he rushed for 250 yards last week against against a Forest Park team that has played some decent football this year. And he's a big kind of powerful back, but he's got that breakaway speed at the same time. And, you know, our challenge is going to be stopping before he gets going. You know, he reminds me of, you know, if you're talking about NFL guys, he's kind of like, you know, Jerome Bettis type guy that once he gets going, you don't really want to tackle him because he's a big body kid that runs with power. We got to stop him in the backfield and kind of keep him bottled up. And he's a different back than what we saw last week, but still a guy that's really capable. And he seems to get better as the games go on. You know, he's a big bruiser type kid that, you know, if you got to tackle him 40 times a game, it becomes challenging and weighs on the defense. And, you know, our job, we need to get up early and you know, make them throw the football. Because I think what they'd like to do is take the air out of the ball, run the ball, and shorten the game. And if they do that, they're going to give us chance. They're going to give us problems.
What do you know about the sophomore quarterback they have starting, Jacek Miller?
He throws a good ball. He's athletic, and you know, our goal is to make him really uncomfortable. And that's usually your success defending young quarterbacks is get to them and make them uncomfortable and hurt their confidence early. If you let them get in a rhythm. You know, he could hurt you, and he's done that. He's got some pretty good receivers out there. I mean, I even go back to watching when we were scouting Southridge early. That was one of their scrimmage opponents. And, man, he threw a really good ball across the middle of Southridge that went for like 70 yards. And, oh, man, who's this kid? And as you watch him progress, and he's gotten better each week, and he's gotten more comfortable. And our job is to make him uncomfortable, and I think we got a plan to do that.
We were talking about during the break, but you think you're expecting a lot of different looks defensively out of the South Spencer Rebels. And we've talked so much about Carter Schickel being able to recognize different things with the defense or knowing what coverage is going to be. What kind of test is this going to present him with having so many different looks that he's going to be seeing?
You know, Carter Smart, and you know, he's the type of quarterback now that just takes what the defense gives him. So, you know, when you're calling plays, you know that, hey, this play's a cover two beater, this play's a cover three beater, this play's a man beater. But you always have that check down option. And, you know, where if we got a certain play called and he sees cover three, well, he kind of knows pre-snap, this is probably where I'm going. He's to a point where he knows that stuff. So I don't think, you know, I don't think it's going to be easy to confuse Carter at this point. He's kind of seen it all. Coach Fisher throws a lot of different stuff at him in practice, you know, between a three-man front and four-man front and man coverage and zone coverage and split field coverage. So he's gotten used to that, seeing those different things. So, you know, as long as we go out and we execute and we protect him, our guys, you know, give our guys some time to get open, I think you'll have a good night.
Final question here, basically about the activities we'll be seeing this weekend. I know yesterday a lot of the students got out and kind of painted the town of Poseyville with the homecoming festivities coming up. What are we expecting from Friday night, and kind of what is there to note?
Man, it'll be an exciting time. I mean, our kids and our community have really bought into our homecoming week. I think we do small town football as good as anybody. Where you know, we've got some reunions coming in, some different classes doing tours, and I've heard there's, you know, there's some, you know, hay rides and all kinds of stuff from some class reunions. And then we'll have our food booth set up where our different programs do it, and we'll have our float parade, and it's Autumn Fest this week. And, you know, if there's listeners out there who have never been here for a Friday night football game during homecoming, it's something to see, and I think our community takes pride in it. I think our kids are lucky to have a community that makes this as special as it is. And I know where I came from and where I grew up, we didn't do these type of things. And I've been fortunate to see it done a different place and to bring some of the things that I saw at other places and stops along the way here, and to work with our great staff and you know, our administration that allows us and takes some chances on us to not screw this up. And our kids have done a great job with it. And as long as we continue to do that, I think this community will continue to support what we do. And But it's an awesome time. Homecoming week at North Posey is pretty special.
Should be a fun time. Should be a good game and hopefully a great crowd on Friday night. Hopefully for some good weather, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Get this we'll rain see. Out of here.
Should a be lot nice of rain Friday. This week. Kickoff will be at 7 o'clock. Pregame show at 6:45. You'll be joined myself and Chris Moreland on the call on 98.9 WPIW as well as online at 1590 AM and then online at NorthPoseyRadio.com. We'll also be video streaming the game again, as we will for the final two home games of the regular season. You'll be able to watch that on IHSATV.org. Or just search SWIN Sports. That's SWIN Sports. Thanks, Coach, and good luck this Friday.
Thanks for having us.
That'll do it for this week's edition of the Coach's Show. We'll talk to you on Friday night whenever the Vikings play the Rebels for homecoming. You've been listening to 98.9 WPIW.
You've been listening to the North Posey Viking Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW and NorthPoseyRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, Crane Credit Union, Nix Industrial, Expressway Chevrolet, GAF, Billy Sparkle and Shine, JT's Hardware, Posey Storage, Expressway Jeep, J.L. Hirsch and Company, Rugged Armor Linings, and Smith Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance. Keep up to date with North Posey Sports on your home of the Vikings, 98.9 WPIW and PoseyCountyRadio.com.